Okay, so first thing I'll say just straight up is we could literally talk for an hour and a half on these murmurs alone, okay? We could do a very thorough, comprehensive oral presentation on all the details you need to know, but we've just got to focus in here on this one question. You've got an elderly woman. She was doing some physical activity. She passed away suddenly. No overt history, and autopsy shows concentric left ventricular hypertrophy. Not really much for us to go by here, okay? So you're like, I don't even know where to start with this. Now, look, even if you don't know where to start, if you know that concentric hypertrophy, okay, concentric, if you know that that reflects pressure overload on the left ventricle, which means afterload, then you know right away that aortic stenosis is the answer. We classically see concentric hypertrophy with systemic hypertension, okay? It leads to hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. We can see it with aortic stenosis, hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy. So concentric hypertrophy, it's when the myocardial sarcomeres are laid in parallel, increasing the thickness of that left ventricular wall, associated with increased stiffness of the wall and an S4 heart sound reflective of diastolic dysfunction. So this is classic for aortic stenosis. Also should be noted that just as a factoid, that sudden death can occur in aortic stenosis. When you have decreased cross-sectional area of that left ventricular outflow tract, in times of physical activity, this can precipitate acute left heart strain and possibly a ventricular fibrillation. Literature is split on the mechanisms for the sudden death, but it's posited that ventricular fibrillation due to acute left heart strain is likely the mechanism. In general, aortic stenosis, because of the high pressure overload on that left ventricle, can cause sudden death in those with myocardial ischemia, okay? So if they had said in the history here that she had a history of coronary artery disease, we could say, maybe she had acute ischemic event from the AS, but because they overtly tell us that she didn't, we could probably just say, maybe a ventricular fibrillation that she had from acute left heart strain from her physical activity. Once again, a lot we can chat about. I think just some key points I'll highlight is that aortic stenosis, classically SAD, S-A-D, syncope, angina, dyspnea, just be aware of those as characteristics. And the murmur is a mid-systolic murmur, aka crescendo-decrescendo systolic murmur, classically radiates to the carotids. Aortic regurgitation, that's going to be a decrescendo holodiastolic murmur, and that's going to cause eccentric hypertrophy, where the myocardial sarcomeres are laid in series, get a dilatation of the left ventricle, sometimes an S3 heart sound, okay? And that's also going to be associated with bounding pulses. Big difference between systolic and diastolic blood pressure in aortic regurg. So you might get a blood pressure of 120 on 40 or 160 over 60. And brisk upstroke with precipitous downstroke of those pulses. They're bounding pulses. Aortic stenosis, in contrast, we have pulses parvus et tardus. It's a slow upstroke, okay? And mitral regurgitation, that's going to be a holosystolic murmur, classically radiating to the axilla. Most common cause just being ischemia. Of course, it can also occur post-MI with a papillary muscle rupture. And also connective tissue disorders like Marfan syndrome, Ehlers-Danlos, although classically mitral valve prolapse can increase the risk of mitral regurg. And mitral stenosis, 99% are going to be due to history of rheumatic heart disease. So students can get tripped up on this. If you, let's say you have a 12-year-old with a sore throat, a strep pharyngitis, and gets an acute murmur, that murmur is going to be mitral regurg, okay, not mitral stenosis. But then 10, 20 years later, it'll become a mitral stenosis. So just be clear, that's a high yield point for rheumatic fever. In adult life, later in life, becomes mitral stenosis, but during the actual episode of the rheumatic fever as a kid, it's mitral regurg. Pulmonic regurgitation, now we're getting into very rare territory. I don't think I've ever seen a question where there was pulmonic regurg. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, mitral stenosis would be described as an opening snap in mid-diastole with a decrescendo mid to late diastolic murmur. So sometimes they'll just say a diastolic rumble, okay? So once again, pulmonic regurg, I've never seen that as an answer. It would presumably sound the same as or similar to aortic regurg, which would be a hollow diastolic murmur. Pulmonic stenosis, that is classic for DeGeorge syndrome. Okay, DeGeorge syndrome causes tetralogy of Fallot. So we get pulmonic stenosis, we get right ventricular hypertrophy, an overriding aorta, and a ventricular septal defect. But that's when we get pulmonic stenosis classically. Sometimes in Noonan syndrome, which is a rare pediatric condition that won't show up on the USMLE, but I'm just giving you some context here, is when might pulmonic stenosis be an answer. Pulmonic stenosis would presumably sound similar to an aortic stenosis, so we'd expect a mid-systolic murmur, but rather than at the right sternal border, second intercostal space, which is the aortic valve region, for pulmonic stenosis, we would expect it at the left sternal border, second intercostal space, and also right-sided murmurs increase with inspiration, okay, due to decrease intrathoracic pressure, increased venous return. So if you were to, let's say, get they say there's a 2-on-6 holosystolic murmur that increases with inspiration, you know that that's tricuspid regurgitation rather than mitral regurgitation. So, so I just spilled the beans on that. That's how tricuspid regurg sounds. And tricuspid regurg, that is really, really high yield for pulmonary hypertension and corpulmonale and sometimes severe mitral stenosis. Now you're probably wondering what the fuck I'm talking about. I can tell you, I've seen on various NBME questions, generally 2CK level, where you'll have a patient who has pulmonary hypertension or corpulmonale and also has a 2-on-6 holosystolic murmur that increases with inspiration. You're like, what the hell? Why is there tricuspid regurg? Like, is that? And yeah, not a big deal. Like, you can get it with pulmonary hypertension. Why pulmonary hypertension, corpulmonale, don't cause pulmonic regurg in questions, I'm not sure, but I can just tell you I've seen tricuspid regurg. This shows up over and over again on 2CK questions especially. And I said mitral stenosis as a cause. If you have severe mitral stenosis in the left heart and back up all the way through the lungs to the right heart, that can also cause a pulmonic regurg. So quite rare in that setting, but I just want you to take home that corpulmonale and pulmonary hypertension can lead to tricuspid regurgitation, and also carcinoid syndrome, where you, that can cause tricuspid regurg. That's when you have a neural crest tumor of generally the small bowel, sometimes appendix, can be bronchial as well. They secrete serotonin derivatives. You diagnose with 5-HIAA in the urine, which is 5-hydroxyindoleacetic acid. Patient can present with tachycardia, diaphoresis, flushing, okay, and tricuspid regurg. Sounds like a weird finding, but you can get that in carcinoid syndrome. Tricuspid regurg, also classic for IV drug use, so staph aureus, acute endocarditis, you could get a new onset murmur plus fever, and it would be tricuspid regurg. Tricuspid stenosis, I don't think I've ever seen that show up. Tricuspid stenosis theoretically would sound similar to mitral stenosis, where you'd have a diastolic rumble. Not sure if that's associated with opening snap. Once again, I've never seen it in USMLE questions. This isn't designed to be your like hour and a half presentation on superfluous detail that's not going to be assessed, but everything I just mentioned, those are the highest yield points. And let me think, anything else here? That's it.